Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, so let's start with an interesting comment that Rashi has by the splitting of the sea. Pasuk says, "Vayid Moshe es yado al hayam, vayoylech Hashem es hayam beruach kadim oza kol halayla." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to operate within nature. So when Moshe stretches his hand out towards the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a very powerful wind, a strong wind that was blowing throughout the night. And it transformed the sea into dry land. And the water, interesting, it doesn't call it Kriyas Yamsuf, it calls it Bikiyas Yamsuf. Bikiyas Hamayim. The water is split. Okay. But Rashi says a very interesting thing, which will take us some time to try to figure out what it means. Vayibaku Hamayim kol mayim shava'olam. All the water in the world is split. So I ask you, why did all the water in the world split?
So that the whole world would know that.
Right. So you say the pasuk pshat is so the whole world should know that this shouldn't be it shouldn't be an incident that only the Egyptians learned from, but the whole world should know. Right? The refrain throughout the parashios of I guess really the end of Shemos and Va'era and Bo and Bishalach is sort of this V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, that the world should know, that Paro should know, that Mitzrayim should know that I am God. And now, the culmination of that, after they left Mitzrayim, a few days later, they're here standing by the Yam. A week later, they're trapped by the sea. And all of a sudden, Vayibaku Amayim, Kol Mayim Shava'olam, we want the whole world to know that Hashem is in charge. Okay, could be. Definitely a Pashup Shah. But let's try to explore more deeply, maybe what was happening by the Yam, and why Dafka by the Yam, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused all of the waters in the world to split. Maybe it wasn't so much about what was happening then, but maybe it was foreshadowing something that would need to happen in the future. So there's an interesting medrash, the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni says, we've seen it in other Mamari Chazal, so it'll sound familiar. Maybe you've never seen this exact medrash, but but you've seen similar statements. There was tremendous opposition to Klal Yisrael by the Yam. Meaning, as they're finally about to complete the process of freeing themselves from Mitzrayim, there's tremendous, tremendous opposition, heavenly opposition to Klal Yisrael by the Yam. And here's one version of it as presented by the Medrash. Yalkut Shimoni is a collection of Midrashim, a classic collection, Yalkut Shimoni. So Yalkut Shimoni says, and the way that we source Yalkut Shimoni is each paragraph is called a remez. Right? So this is in Remez Reish Lamed Daled of Parshas Bishalach. Davar Acher v'hamayim lahem choma. The water became a wall. Shayarad Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, the Samach Mem, the Sitra Acha, the Yetzahara, the Malach Amavis, the Satan, all the same, as we've said many times from Baba Basra, it's all one Malach. The Sam came down, V'amar Lefan of Ribbono Sha'olam, I don't understand. Lo Avdi Yisrael Avod Azar B'Mitzrayim, it's rhetorical. Did the Jews not serve with Zara and Mitzrayim, va'ata osalahem nisim, and now you're doing miracles for them? So what's our question for the Samach Mem? Now you show up? Meaning, you could have said this by Adam, or Tzvardaya, or Kinim, or Arov. What was it about Kriyas Yamsuf that all of a sudden now, the Sitra Achra got all nervous and said, oh, you can't split the sea for the Jews, they're idol worshippers. So again, you could say Pashup Shat, well now this is the again, this is the final step where the Jews will finally actually earn their freedom and the Egyptians will actually be utterly decimated. So maybe that's why he's piping in now at the last minute. Could be. But the Samach Mem was tining against Klal Yisrael by the Yam. V'haya mashmiya kolo lisar shel Yam. And his voice, his complaints, his accusations were heard by the Sar, by the angel of the sea. V'nismale aleyem chema. U'bikesh letavan. And what happened was that the ministering angels by the sea decided, you know what, maybe we should drown the Jews. Biyad heishav lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu served as the lawyer of Klal Yisrael and he defended. You don't know how to assess something. You don't know how to assess the case before your eyes. Fichi ledaitam avdua. Do you think the Jewish people served Avodah Zarah by choice? You think that they did it with Bidas? You think they knew what they were doing? The only reason the Jews served Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim was because the slavery was so intense. They were so broken. They were so lost. There was this terrible Teir of Das, this terrible Bilbul Hadas. There was a lack of clarity. There was no mindfulness in Mitzrayim. We talk about the Golas Hadas that was Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Samach Mem, Va'ata don shogeg mesa? Do you think two people who do the same action, everything's equated? Everything's equal? You judge shogeg, an accident, like mesa, like something done on purpose? The Jews did Avodah Zarah by accident. Va'ones keratzon? You treat ones keratzon? You treat someone who does something under terrible duress like a person who does so by choice, with a ratzon, with a desire? Don't you realize that what the Jews did in Mitzrayim, they weren't choosing it. They had lost their minds. It was a galus hadas. It's not exactly the same. They did avodah zarah. Like the Gemara says elsewhere. These ones did avodah zarah, these ones did avodah zarah. But Hashem says they're not equal at all. It's reminiscent of the famous words of Rav Alexandri in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin. Rav Alexandri, when we finished davening Shmona Esrei, used to always say, Hashem, you know that Ritzoneinu lasos Ritzonecha. You know that our desire is to do your desire. We want to be good Jews. What gets in the way? Two things always get in the way. Seur Shabi'isa, the leaven in the dough. The leaven in the dough means that which turns things into chametz. In other words, Rashi says, the Yetzirah in our hearts. It's a mashal of chametz, leaven in the dough. And Shibud Malchios, and the fact that we're enslaved. It takes the life out of us. It's very hard to be a good Jew when we're surrounded, when we're swimming, when we're literally swimming in the tumah of the world. We're swimming in galus. So in other words, he was saying, what's our true ratzon? Our true ratzon is to serve you, Hashem. The Rambam at the end of the second parak of Hilchos Geirush, and we beat up a Jew until he says, Rotzani, right? Give your wife a get. Do the right thing, because deep down inside, says the Rambam, every Jew wants to do the right thing. So Hashem says to the Satan, you Shote, you evil person, you Rasha, how do you treat a person who does a mistake like someone who does something on purpose? How do you equate someone who does something ba'ones to someone who does something ba'ratzon? The true ratzon of the Jew is to serve Hashem. Kevin Cheshama Sar Shalyam Oisa Chema Shinismali Al Yisrael Hechzira Al Mitzrayim. So when the Sar Shalyam heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's defense of the Jewish people, so the original wrath, right? Again, it's a play on the word Choma. Choma is Lashon Chema. Chema means anger, wrath, right? So the original wall of water that it was turning to wrath against the Jews turned into wrath against the Egyptians. Shenemar vayashuvu hamayim sheshavu miYisrael al Mitzrayim. The water turned back. In other words, it turned back from wanting to harm the Jews, and it destroyed the Egyptians instead. But again, why dafka now, by Kriyas Yom Tov, all of a sudden the Samach Mem pipes in? All of a sudden he has so much to say. He's trying to destroy Klal Yisrael at this last moment. Again, you could just say it's the last moment. But there's something about Kriyas Yom Tov, something's happening here that's drawing his attention. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah says, it speaks about the importance of saying Oz Yashir every day. And Mishnah Berurah uses a Lashon, if I'm not mistaken, and I think it's based on this Zohar, several passages in the Zohar. It's not the exact Lashon we have here, but in that same section of the Zohar. The Zohar says, and I think this is what the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, that a person, maybe Kisvei Arizal, a person who says Oz Yashir with Kavana has Mechilas Avonos, has the Averos erased. If you say Oz Yashir with a lot of Kavana every day, it'll erase your sins. What's the pshat? Look at this Zohar. The Zohar says, Taninan, Kol Barnash to Amar Shirasa Dab Chol Yoma Umechavein Ba. Kol Barnash, every Barnash means every person, who says Shirasa Da, this Shira, B'chol Yoma every day Umechavein Ba, and has good Kavana in doing so. Zochi Lameimra Lizimna Da'asi will be Zoicha to say it in the future. If you say Oz Yashir now and you mean it, you'll be zochet to say it in the future. Okay, I mean, I say it now and I'll say it in the future. I don't know. What's like the biggest chus of saying Oz Yashir in the future? If you say Oz Yashir now, you'll be zochet to say Oz Yashir in the future. Vayamru Leimor, on the pasuk Vayamru Leimor, on the phrase Vayamru Leimor, they said, saying, says the Zohar, Lidare Darin for all generations, right? Oz Yashir is not just something that we once upon a time said in experiencing the historical Kriyas Yom Tov, rather it's L'dorei Doros. Begin the lo yisnashe minayu la'almen. Right? What's lo yisnashe? Sounds like the Hadron. Forget. Right? Begin the lo yisnashe minayu la'almen. It should never be forgotten for us forever. Oz Yashir is our eternal battle cry. Oz Yashir. It's never going to be Vayimru Leimor. They said it then, and they'll say it now, and we'll say it in the future. What is it about Oz Yashir? Can you say it now, you'll be zoichet to say it in the future. What's the Az Yashir of the future? What exactly is the Az Yashir of the future? The Gemara has a comment in Sanhedrin that Minayin L'Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. How do you know? In Sanhedrin, maybe Sadiches or something like that. It's in the Tzadis, I'm not sure exactly. Well, how do you know that we're going to... how do we know that Tchias HaMesim, where's the hint in the Torah to Tchias HaMesim? Az Yashir. It should have said Az Shar, then they sang. What's Az Yashir? They will sing. Ah, it must be that the people who sang it then are going to come back from the dead and sing it again. So what is the Az Yashir of the future? Is that the Az Yashir of the future that the Zohar is being Meramis to? So let's learn from an amazing encyclopedia of Jewish thought called Kar HaKemach. Who wrote the Kar HaKemach? Rabbeinu Bachai, the same Rabbeinu Bachai, wrote a commentary on Chumash, wrote a volume called Kar HaKemach. Right? And it's a collection of entries arranged alphabetically, for the most part, of Jewish ideas, of Jewish machshava ideas. So in the Kar HaKemach for the entry of Ner Chanukah, he writes an amazing Masorah, a Kabbalah that we have. Kabbalah biyadeinu shagu'ula ha'asida, asida shetiyeh b'dimyon gu'ulas Mitzrayim. However, we know very well, Maisa avo simon labanim, the world operates not only in a linear fashion, but in a circular fashion, which means that things keep playing themselves out again and again and again. Right? Sometimes it's Adam, and it's Chava, and it's a Nachash. Sometimes it's a Mordechai, and a Esther, and a Haman. It's all the same story, just over and over again. The characters, you know, wear different garments and they change their costumes, but it's the same show over and over and over again. So there's leaving Mitzrayim, and there's leaving Bavel, and there's leaving Madai, Paras and Madai, there's leaving Yavan, and there's leaving Edom. Every Geula is reminiscent in a certain way of Geulas Mitzrayim, but especially the final Geula. The Geula that we're waiting for, this final Geula, Kabbalah biyadeinu, that the future Geula is going to be B'dimyon Geulas Mitzrayim. It's going to parallel in some way, in some very precise way, the redemption from Egypt. Kishem, look at this. This is unbelievable. Underline it. Kishem shemetzinu kriyas yamsuf b'Geulas Mitzrayim. Just like we had a kriyas yamsuf by leaving Mitzrayim, so too we'll find by the future Geula, kintimsa b'Geula asida, we find in reference to the final redemption, v'hecharim Hashem es lashon yam Mitzrayim, v'heinif yado al hanar b'ayam rucho, pasuk in Yeshaya, yud alef tesvav. And the next pasuk in Yeshaya says, v'haisa mesila l'shar amo, asher yishaer me'ashur, kasher haisli Yisrael b'yom alasa me'art Mitzrayim. Hashem's going to make new misilot, misilot yishar, new pathways through the yam, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Hashem dried up the land and took us out of Mitzrayim through his strong wind, so too Hashem is going to make, for those who are still remaining behind, in other words, anyone who's still in Galus, which is all of us, right? Hashem is going to make new pathways to get us out of Ashur and to get us, you know, from all the places. And we're going to come back to Hashem. Right? Just like we came out of Mitzrayim with Kriyas Yamsuf, so too, we're going to have another Kriyas Yamsuf. Hareza meyit, says Rabbeinu Bachai, Hareza meyit shebegu'ula ha'asida, asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu laseis bayam derech. In the future, Hashem is going to make a path through the sea. So in case you thought you were going to take an airplane to Eretz Yisrael for Mashiach's arrival, no, you're going to have to walk. But don't worry, Hashem's going to dry up the ocean for you. Interesting. Hashem's going to make a derech in the yam, k'mo shehayah b'yetzias Mitzrayim, just like there was by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Interesting, no? You heard about this before? The Kriyas Yamsuf for the future? What is the Kriyas Yamsuf for the future? Kashem shematzinu Kriyas Yamsuf b'gulas Mitzrayim. So too you'll find by the Gula Asida there's going to be a Kriyas Yamsuf. That's so interesting. But the truth is, again, it's not a chiddush to us because that's how Hashem operates the world. Hashem is always foreshadowing and always you know, reviewing, so to speak, the moments of history. The Medrash says, Kol Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Vayikra Rabba, and Parshas Amor, Kol Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu Osid Lasos, Ulechadish Ba'omol Osid Lavo, Karhiktim Va'osim Miktsaso Al Yidei Nivi Av HaTzadikim B'olam Haza. Whatever Hashem is going to do in the future, right, that's part of the Geshmak, like when things finally click, you're like, that's why you did that. You were just setting up, oh, now I get it. Right? So there's a lot of that. We've had a lot of those throughout history. Oh, that's why Hashem did this, because now we understand what it was about. So says the Medrash, everything Hashem is going to be machadesh in his world in the future, he already hiked him, he already went ahead earlier and did it at least partially, also miktsaso, through his neviim and his tzaddikim in this world. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anihu sha'ani osid, anihu sha'osid lasos yam yabasha, velo kvar asisa yedei Moshe. Right? Mamash, this Medrash, mufurish. Just like Rabbeinu Bachaya said. The Medrash says, I already dried out the land, right, in the past, and I'm going to do it again. V'ata harim esmatcha. Moshe Rabbeinu, stretch out your hand, dry out the waters, and it'll happen again in the future. Now the truth is, we see there's a Gemara in Chulin about Pinchas ben Yair splitting the water. Right? So we do see other times. In Tanakh, other places, we see people crossing through bodies of water. So, all right. But there's something more here, because again, the Rabbeinu Bachai is talking about some type of future final Kriyas Yamsuf that we're all going to experience. We're all going to try to find our way through that Yam on the way to the Geula Hasida. Right? Not just these moments where, you know, tzaddikim were able to split the water for a personal reason or for a particular mitzvah mission that they were on. But there was some type of arrangement that Hashem put into the Bria from the beginning of time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's going to be this final Kriyas Yamsuf that's going to be so radically different. It's going to be the ultimate Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's what we're waiting for. Hashem made that arrangement from the beginning of time. Says the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, the final source on page 1. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tanayin hitna Kadosh Baruch Hu imayam. Hashem made a Tanai. What's a Tanai? Condition. Hashem made a deal with the Yam. Shia nikra lifnei Yisrael. When Hashem created the waters, Hashem made a condition that Hashem is going to split the waters for Bnei Yisrael. Hadhu dechsiv v'yoshav hayam. The water returned le'esano, to its regular strength. Which, of course, the Pashup Shah means that the water just went back to, you know, instead of being frozen, solid walls of water on the side, the water went back to its regular flow. But explains the Medrash, the water went back le'etano, to its strength. It means le'tano'o shehitneimo. The water went back to the Tanai. The water kept its promise. Yeah.
There's also an idea that after Noah, Hashem sort of reigned in the water.
Right, he curbed the water.
So it could be referring to that strength.
Or okay, interesting. So yeah, so there's different points where we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making deals with the water. Right? But what's particularly interesting about this is, look at the words again. It's a very simple question. The water went back to its strength. After the water split for the Jewish people, the water goes back to its regular flow. And the Medrash learns from the word le'etano, the water went back to its condition. What's the question?
The condition was to split,
right? The Rachaim HaKadosh asks, hold on one second, the Rachaim HaKadosh asks at the top of page 2, le'etano, Chazal say, Rachaim asks in this past week's parsha, B'shalach, the water went back to its condition, right? Letano harishon, it went back to the original condition. V'koshali l'divrayim, ein zeh makom ha'tanai. The Tanai wasn't that the water should go back to being water. The Tanai was that if I need you to split, you'll get out of the way. Ela b'shas ha'chaluka. Shom yazkir Tanai zeh. Right? Why didn't the Torah give a hint to the Tanai? The water kept its promise when the water split. That's the unusual thing about the water. The water going back to its regular state of being a body of water is not a chiddush. Yeah, no?
If we're saying that in the Yemos Mashiach there's going to be another split, then it's still keeping its condition. But the word Eitan, those letters,
Eitan,
are the letters that make a word into Atid. And so it's like, I think it's foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing,
the fact that it's
very
going to
good.
Do it again.
Very, very good. Yeah, the letters Aleph, Yod, Tav, and Nun have the ability to make something futuristic. Okay? So it's foreshadowing that there's going to be something more is to happen in the future. Very strong. Beautiful. So what's the answer to the Rechaim HaKadosh's question? It went back to the condition. What do you mean? The condition was that I had to split, and it split. Shlomo Kluger has many, many svarim. One of them is called Imre Shefer. And he writes, in this past week's parsha, in Oz Tesvav, in the next source, he says an amazing pshat. It says in the pasuk again that Moshe stretched out his hand over the water, and the water went back in the morning to its strength. It went back to the way it was supposed to be. V'isa v'medrash le'etano le'tano harishon ad kan l'shono. The medrash went back to its old ways. V'hikshu ha'mafarshim. And the Mefarshim ask, no, we just saw the Mefarshim. Or Chaim HaKadosh is one such commentary to ask. Lama lo kvar kasav b'sha shenikra hayam shekiyem hatanai u'ma inyan zeh kan be'es sheshov hamayim le'etano. Shouldn't this have been written earlier? A reference to the water keeping its promise should have been made by the split, not by the water returning to its source, to its regular ways. V'nira, so he says an amazing answer. Dihine muvuar b'svarim. What svarim? I don't know, maybe the Karakemach of Rabbeinu Bechaya and others. Dila osi lavo gamkein yikr hayam lifnei Yisrael. The water has to split again in the future. Right? Not just again the stories in Tanakh, not just the stories in the Gemara, but mamish, the final future, the Gula Asidah, there's going to be some type of Kriyas Yamsuf. Some type of Kriya of all the water. Ve'imke nira de'ikr tchilas hatanai imayam haya ala asid. So when Hashem told the water, I need you to split for the Jewish people in the future, so the water, when it split by Kriyas Yamsuf, said, okay, I did my job. So Hashem says, no, you're not done yet. When we made a Tanai, I wasn't just talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. You have to split again for Klal Yisrael to come to the Gula Hasida. So again, Imkain, three lines from the end, near the right column. Near the Iker Tchilas Hatanayim Ayam Hayala Asid, Kishiyegalu Yisrael Gula Shleima, V'yutzadikim Oz Yikra Lifneiam, V'Imkain, Kave and Shnikra Hayam Kaes Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. So now the water split in fulfillment of the promise. Hayahayam Sover, the water thought Shekvar Kiem Tano. Okay, I kept my promise. I kept the Tanai, I kept the arrangement, I kept the deal. And I don't need to split ever again. So therefore, when the water went back to its regular ways and I thought, okay, now I can just be a regular water for the rest of my life. No. Gila lo, Kodesh Baruch, whoa, hold on a sec. Hashem says, no, we still have a Tanai. That's not the splitting of the water that we agreed to. I need you. We made a deal that you're going to split whenever I need you to split for Bnei Yisrael. Yeah, that was the ultimate splitting for Bnei Yisrael. No, there's going to be an even greater splitting for Bnei Yisrael. The splitting of the Geula Shleima. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Le'itano le'tano harishon, hainu, shenishar od tanai harishon. The original condition is still in place. Im yitzarech od apam l'kro, yikra asatzmo la'asid. I need you to split in the future. La'asid lavo beis ha'Geula Shleima. He says there's going to be another splitting of the water. This does not count. It's a good start. Thank you for showing that you're prepared to do it, if necessary. But we're not even close to done. I need you to make me a promise that you're going to split again in the future. Yes, Yehuda.
It seems that what the Emir Shafir is saying is that as long as there is still something called the future, the Mayim still has to hold to its promise.
Okay, interesting. Always have a nice way of saying things. Right. As long as we still have more to go in the journey, there's still a future. But once you get to Mashiach, then already we've arrived. But as long as there's still a future, right, there's still a need to continue to keep your commitment, keep your promise. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, so Chaver, so what is this Kriyas Yams? I mean, again, are we going to walk through the ocean to get to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the third base of Mikdash? It's interesting. Yaakov Avinu is the one who corresponds to the third base of Mikdash. It says in the Gemara, it's in Psachim, it says that Avram called the base of Mikdash Har, and Yitzchak called the mountain Sada, and Yaakov called it Bayis. Right? What it means is that Avram is sort of Bayis Rishon, Yitzchak is sort of Bayis Sheni, Yaakov is Bayis Shlishi. There are Midrashim, I don't want to go into it so much right now, but there are Midrashim that say that the same stick that Moshe used to split the waters of the Yam is the same stick that Yaakov Avinu had when he said what? What did he say? When he went back for Pachim Ketanim? What does Yaakov daven? What does he say? He says to Hashem, as he's running for his life, as Esav's son is robbing him of everything except for his stick, Kiba makli avarti es hayarden hazeh. With this staff, I crossed Kiva Makli. Yeah, with this staff, I crossed the Arden. In other words, there are fascinating sources that indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he split the water, was splitting it with the same stick that Yaakov used in his own journeys. And Yaakov is the one who corresponds to Bayis Shlishi. So in other words, the Kriyas Yamsuf taking place here, right, is very much Makusher somehow to the final Geula. There's ways to weave that all together. Okay? But what are the waters that we're trying to find our way through? So David HaMelech tells us, let's turn to page 3. Look at the second source on page 3. We'll jump ahead just for a moment. We'll go back. David HaMelech says, Shir HaMalos, Kof Chav Dalet. Shir HaMalos LeDavid. Lu LeHashem Shehaya Lanu Yomer Na Yisrael. Right? Lu LeHashem Shehaya Lanu. What would we do without a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Lu LeHashem Shehaya Lanu B'kum Aleinu Adam. Hashem, what would we have done if you didn't come to our defense when a man rose against us? The Gemara in Megillah says, Adam here is a reference to Haman. Haman wasn't a melech, he was a person, a high-ranking person, but he didn't officially have malchus. And the reason that's so scary is because the Achronim explain, the Gemara Tzchaya says in the back of the Gemara in Megillah, Gemara Tzchaya says that a melech is controlled by Hashem. Right? The Pasuk says that the heart of kings is in the hands of Hashem. It's Pasuk in Mishlei, I believe. But Adam, a person, is a Baal Bechira. So Haman, in many ways, is much scarier than even Achashverosh. Okay, that's just what the Gemara says on this Pasuk. Azai chayim b'la'unu b'charos apam banu. We would have been swallowed up when there was anger against us. So maybe that's, again, a reference to that Kriyas Yamsov moment, where the Samach Mem was saying, the Jews are no better, and the water got angry, the Mayim became a chema, became wrathful. Azai hamayim shetafunu, nachala over al nafshenu. And then the pasuk says, pasuk hey, azai over al nafshenu hamayim hazeidonim. Right, the mayim zeidonim were passing over our lives. We nearly drowned. What are these mayim zeidonim? These destructive waters. What's David HaMelech talking about? I don't think he's talking about physically drowning. So what is David HaMelech talking about? So the Sefer Haredim, in his magnificent work, which puts together various mitzvos according to various body parts, and arranges the mitzvos in a very insightful way, the Sefer Haredim writes in the next source, in Perek Samach Vav, in his section on Tshuva, the Shoah Kadosh elaborates on this in his writings as well. Ha'olam hazeh yam so'er. Very simple mashal. What is this ocean that we're talking about? What is David HaMelech talking about? We nearly drowned, and Ad Hashem not saves us, right? And I told you the Gemara sees this pasuk as a reference to Haman who's trying to destroy it. What are we drowning in? We're always drowning. Says the Sefer Haredim, right, this whole world is trying to drown us. This whole world is trying to drown us. Ha'olam hazeh yam so'er. This world is a raging river, is a raging ocean. Tzarech lidmos ha'adam b'dayto ki'ilu hu shat yarim rosho lamala liyotzro. Very poetic lashon. He says a person has to see himself as swimming, trying to keep his head above the water, trying to be reaching towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not being pulled under by his Yetzer Hara, being careful to keep his mouth closed so that he doesn't swallow too much of the Mayim HaZeidonim that David HaMelech was talking about. Right? The evil waters, the destructive waters. V'yishamer min ha'galim ha'ba'am litardo. If you remember, we were learning in Leket Amarim, our Rebbe, Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, was teaching us that whole explanation about that first Torah of Likutei Moharan, of Rabbi Bar Chana on the boat, and he saw a wave trying to sink his ship. That's this. That Gemara in Bava Basra is mamish this. So there are waves that are trying to destroy us, they're trying to lead us astray. Right? And he needs to work really hard to make sure that he doesn't get pulled under. V'im lav, damo b'rosho. And if not, damo b'rosho. If he's not fighting, if he's not trying to steer his ship through this world, right? And he drowns, so Hashem is going to be upset at him. Blood is on his head. He may lose his life, and it's his fault because Hashem gave you a captain to steer your ship. Your captain's your neshama. Olam hazeh is the ocean. Your body is the boat. Your neshama is the captain of the ship that's trying to guide you through. What's the world? What's the word, the Hebrew word, for life? You know, running its course. What's the word in Hebrew for the natural order of things? Teva. Teva. Right? We spoke about many times, we had it in Degel Machan Ephraim, how HaTeva is Gematria Elokim. It's the natural way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. B'derech HaTeva, we should drown. B'derech HaTeva, the Yetzirah seems to be much bigger and much more, it's just so oppressive, right? How can we survive? We're going to mess up. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in his Hakdama to Parshas Masay, in his commentary on Chumash, Ki lekach nikra HaTeva, b'shem hazeh. You know why Teva is called Teva? You know why it's called Teva? Because what's the Hebrew word for drowning? Lidboa, to drown. It's the same person, Biavein Mitsulaso, to sink into the depth. Biavein means like the mud or the mirth. You know, to sink into the quicksand. V'yered lever shachas, im lo yizahir bo. So this world is an olam of Teva. It's a reminder that we're constantly struggling not to drown. A person who comes into the waters of this world, he doesn't know how to swim, and Rahman al-Islam, he drowns. Isn't it interesting? As Sfarim HaKadoshim point out, one of the responsibilities that a father has to his son in this world, to help him to survive this world, he needs to give him a bris milah, he needs to give him a pidyon haben, he needs to teach him Torah, he needs to make sure that he gets married, he needs to find him a profession. But says the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Chavtes, Ha'av chai b'vino lamolo, lifdoso, pidyon haben, lelamdo Torah, lasio isha, lelamdo umnis, to teach him a profession. V'yesh omrim afla ashito b'mayim. A father has to teach his son how to swim. What does it mean to swim? It means to navigate this world. It means to navigate this world. My father once gave me a sefer, as a gift. It was a deep sefer. And he said, he wrote in the inside cover of the sefer, don't be afraid of the deep end, I taught you how to swim. And then, you know, deep sea diving, you learn the deeper areas of Torah is also, you could drown in that. You could get lost in it. Right? But all of Olam Hazah is deep sea diving. We're trying to make sure that we don't die in this world. We're able to find a way through the Mayim Zeidonim, through the destructive waters of this world. So what exactly is this mayim? Right? Again, we kind of lump together all of Olam Hazah, all of Teva, all of the tricks of the Yetzirah is called the mayim zeidonim. But let's speak more specifically, since we're in the days of Shoven. If we find ourselves in the days of Shoven, let's understand more precisely what exactly the mayim is. So let's turn back to page 2. And let's study the words of Reb Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal. Reb Chaim Vital wrote a sefer called Shari Kedusha. And in the Shari Kedusha, Reb Chaim Vital explains that everything in the world is made up of four elements, the Dalet Yesodos. And a person's body is also reflecting these four Yesodos of the Bria. He writes where it's bolded in the Shari Kedusha in Chelek Rishon, very beginning. He writes, we'll read where it's bolded, V'guf ha'adam notzer min ha'tov sheba'ar b'yesodos. There's a good version and a bad version of these four Yesodos. What are the four Yesodos? Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. The body of a person is, in potential, has the kochos of Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar in a positive sense. Amnam min harasha behem notzro beguf arba maros. But it also has a negative expression within the body. The four biles, the white, the black, the red, and the green, or the yellow. Right? Again, he's talking in the realm of ancient medicine and a certain balance of the body. Okay, but there's this blending of tovera, of these different kochos hanefesh, right? And he says there's a lot of fours that we know. There's four letters in Hashem's name, but there's also bavakama, the arba avos nezikin. There's arba maros negam. There's four types of tzaras. So again, these are kochos hanefesh that could be used positively or negatively. The Tanya writes in the next source, at the beginning of Tanya, nefesh achas mitzara klipa v'sitra acha. Everyone knows the Tanya begins by describing there are two souls, right? There's the Nefesh Bahamas, and then there's the Nefesh, which is a Chelek Elokam Yimal. There's the Nefesh Elukis. There's one part of the soul which comes from the Klipa. It comes from the Sitra Achra. It finds itself as manifesting within the Dam HaAdam. It expresses itself within the blood of man. And it's made up of the four Yesodos, and says the Tanya, let me describe to you what they are. Eish, Ruach, Afra, and Mayim. Let me tell you a little bit about them. He says, what is Eish? What is the negative expression of Eish? So he writes where it's bolded. Kas v'gaiva mi'yesod ha'Eish. Ha'as, anger. A person gets angry. That's Eish. Right? He's fired up. Gaiva, when he's a Baal Gaiva, he holds himself above other people, like a fire which is always jumping higher, is always rising up. So Eish, in its negative expression, is Kas and Gaiva. What would be Eish in a positive expression? Slavus, passion for Avodas Hashem. Okay? What is Mayim? He says Mayim is Tavos V'tanugim. Mayim is desire, pleasure. Let's skip Mayim for one second. We'll come back to Mayim. Let's just do the other ones more quickly. Okay, what's Ruach? He says, Holulus v'litzanus v'isparus v'dar metelim yisur ha-ruach. Ruach corresponds to joking around too much, speaking Lashon Hara, wasted words, dvar metelim, right? Wasted breath. That's all called Ruach. What's Afar? Dirt, earth. Atzlus v'atzlus, he says. Laziness and sadness. When a person's depressed, when a person's lazy, they don't do anything. They sit around like a clump of dirt. So what's Mayim? Let's go back to Mayim now. Mayim, he said, and again, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about overcoming the Mayim. Mayim represents Taiva. Mayim represents pleasure-seeking, right? Taiva, specifically Arayos. And the reason that it corresponds to Arayos is ki Mayim matzmichim kol minei tanug. Mayim is necessary for sustaining life. Mayim allows a seed to grow. Right? The same way that what? The same way that in a biological process, arayos, the act of intimacy, is necessary to keep the world going. As the Navi says, that's the purpose. Loto bara l'shevis yitzra. God made the world to populate it. So Hashem gave us a sexual desire, a sexual drive. It's a very important and holy thing. It allows for the first mitzvah of pur avu to take place. But of course, too much mayim drowns the plant. And that's the danger of drowning. That's how the taiva and tanug, seeking pleasure, right, is the ultimate trap in which we drown in this world. Okay? Let's go back to page 3. Look at the top of page 3. A little bit later, Rav Chaim Vital explains it a little bit deeper. First he gives us an overview, as the Tanya does, and then Rav Chaim Vital goes into each one. So let's learn the Yesod HaMayim. He says the top source on page 3. Yesod HaMayim. Again, this is still in the first chelek of the Shari Kedusha, but this is in Shar Sheni. Yesod HaMayim, what is Mayim? Mimenu tavas hata'anugim. The desire for all sorts of pleasure. Ki min ha-mayim matzmichim kol minei tanug. Because again, from the water, everything is able to grow. V'toldoseh shtayim. And it has two subcategories. Hachemda. What does chemda mean? It's some type of desire. Ligzol mamon chavero. V'ishto. V'chol asher lo. Right? Always wanting to take more and more, specifically from others, to take someone else's money, to desire someone else's spouse, lis aneg behen, v'hakina, and jealousy. Also, jealousy is the opposite of ezahu asher asameach b'chalko. A jealous person is always says, "I'm not satisfied. I want more pleasure. I want more possessions. I want more enjoyment." Ki yakane b'chavero, asher lo mamud rav v'kiotze. My friend has more money than me. I want more money. If I had more money, I'd have a lot more fun. I'd go on more extravagant vacations. I'd buy myself a bigger house. I'd buy myself a newer car. Right? It's all about tanug. V'hefchem heim arba midos tovos, nimshachas me arba yesodos hatov shabenefesh. And then, of course, there's the good side of things. And he says, number 3, mayim, the good side of mayim is what? Hamius bechol tanugi haguf umosrav hamuchrachim. A rejection, developing a distaste for the needs of the body. Instead of being obsessed with eating, right? I eat, yes, I have to, but it's not. It's a way. It takes away time from doing more meaningful things. Right? I'm not obsessed with more and more physical pleasure. Paspa melech tochal. I'm happy with a bread and a little salt and a little water. Right? Like the Mishnah describes, the person who's in love with Torah and therefore is distancing himself from olam hazeh. But again, mayim is associated with taiva v'tanugim. And again, obviously, what's alluded to in that, as the taiva that sometimes drowns people more than anything else, is taiva sarayos, is the taiva for arayos. Isn't it interesting? And again, we're not going to go into it deeply now, but just very bekitzer nimratz. Isn't it interesting that in Mitzrayim, in trying to stop the salvation from Mitzrayim, the Jewish baby boys were thrown into the Nile. What's that about? Says the Pasuk, right after the Gemara in Kiddushin on page 3, Vayitzav paro lechol amo lemor, kol haben hayilod hayo'ur tashlichu, v'chol abas techayun, dafka the boys, why dafka the boys throw them into the Nile? Shovavim is more of a male holiday. That's not to say that there's no female expression of what Shovavim is about, but we talk about Shmir Seinayim and Kedushas HaBris and overcoming sexual desire. I mean, the Sfarim are primarily talking about the struggles that men have in these Inyanim. And therefore, Paro, in trying to stop the Jews from leaving Mitzrayim, in trying to destroy the savior of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu, and to stop that Geula from taking place, he takes Dafka, the boys, and he places them into the Nile. He puts them into the waters of Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim? What do we know about Mitzrayim? Turn to the last page for a second. What do we know about Mitzrayim? It's referenced in a funny type of way. When Yosef accuses his brothers of coming to spy out the land of Egypt, right? You're coming to see the Erevas Haaretz. Mitzrayim is called Erevas Haaretz. The Yalkut Shimoni writes, the second to last source on the page, Vayomer Aleihem, right? Vayomer Aleihem. Yosef says to his brothers, Lo, you're not here in innocent ways. Ki Erevas Haaretz Basem Liros. You're here to see the Erevas Haaretz. Says the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Miketz, second to last source in our Marmakomos today, Kishem She'evarim La'adam, Kach Evarim La'aretz. Interesting. Just like a person has body parts, different parts of the world correspond to different parts of the body. So which part of the world corresponds, right, to the arayos? Which part of the world corresponds to the sex organs? And the answer is Mitzrayim. It's called Erva Sahara. It's called the place of Erva. Right? It's called the parts of the body that are private. That's what Mitzrayim is called. And therefore, by placing, think about it for a second, Paro, who's the melech of Erevas Haaretz, who's the melech of Mitzrayim, whereas the Navi says elsewhere, the Mitzrayim is basur chamorim, right? That their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. A chamor is chumrius, is physicality. It's taiva, it's tanugim, it's olam hazeh. Yeah? So placing them into the waters of Mitzrayim, you understand what that means? The waters that were worshipped in Mitzrayim, the Nile, you know what that means? It's putting the mamish into the mayim zeidonim to drown them. It's mamish foreshadowing every Jewish struggle that will ever take place with taiva and tanuk, with Erevas Haaretz. The Al-Shech HaKadosh says in the last verse on the page, that's why when Yosef, who's Yosef HaTzadik, who beat Eishes Potiphar in Mitzrayim, when Yosef HaTzadik comes to power in Mitzrayim, what does he demand of the Egyptians? That they need to circumcise themselves. Yosef is trying to fight back. He's also trying to protect Klal Yisrael in advance by circumcising the Egyptians. Says the Al Shech Hakadosh, "Kedei lahatish odes koch Mitzrayim." Amar lahem Yosef lamul, ki ha'aretz yesh la evarim kamo laguf. Because says the Al Shech Hakadosh, again based on this medrash, just like people have body parts, the world has body parts, and therefore Mitzrayim, which is arla, which is arayos, which is uncircumcised. So Yosef tried to what? To circumcise the land, literally by circumcising the Egyptians. Okay, bechinas Mitzrayim. He was trying to circumcise Egypt, not just the individuals, the whole Indian of Egypt. Visar shala, he hashpala hanikris Erevas Haaretz. And the Malach of Mitzrayim is trying to drag us. Who is saved? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is he called Moshe? Ki min hamayim mishisiu. He's better than the water. He's above the water. He's withdrawn from water, right? He overcomes the waters. The waters that are trying to drown people. It's Moshe Rabbeinu who stretches out his hand and dries out what? And dries out all of the yam in taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, what do you want to say? Let's hear.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant? Yeah. I can't imagine it's irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant, it's just not.
Okay,
it's
you want to say it. Okay, let's hear. Yeah.
Two sessions. One statement. There's also a midrash about when it refers to Paro, it refers to him as one.
One amah, right.
In height, and also
right.
One amah in another direction.
Right, right, so. Exactly. It says that Paro was right was one amah tall, right, and his bris milah was also, his arla was also one amah, whatever that means, right? If I should explain, what that means is that, you know, you can tell, right, it wasn't mean physically, his aver was an amah long, Right? But it means that it was given prominence in his life. It was the focus of his life. As big as his whole being was, this was his everything. Right? He was a man who was a perverse man, a person who was drowning in sexual desire and trying to drown Klal Yisrael as well. Yeah.
My other question is, does this Mitzrayim mean anything? Like Mitzrayim or
Mitzrayim, sure. Mitzrayim, yeah.
What is that?
You tell me, what is it?
I heard a shir where it was Mem Yetzer Mem, which is Yetzer means to form things, so, and Mem is like completing something. So they'd complete something and they'd form it into a new thing, Mem Yetzer Mem. And then I also heard Meitzer Yam, which is, again, like to form things in water, because water is this thing that takes on the shape of anything that it goes into.
Okay. But yeah, think about it in our context. Meitzer means the boundary. Meitzer Yam. The boundaries of the ocean. Mitzrayim is the boundary of the ocean. The ocean is defined by Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the ocean. I'm not sure. You have to think about how to say it the best way. There's a lot going on there. But yeah, for sure there's something there. Definitely the word Yam in Mitzrayim is significant. There's no question about it. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu is Minamayim, Mishisiyu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who lifts us above the water. Now there's also a medrash, don't forget, that what Hayam Ra'a Vayonas, right, just to come full circle here a little bit, we're saying on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu takes us out of Mitzrayim. We mentioned earlier that the stick that Moshe used was the stick of perhaps Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is foreshadowing Gula Sida by Shlishi. Yaakov Avinu is also the epitome of Kedusha Sabris. Because when Reuven was born, by the bracha of Reuven, in Parshas Vayechi, and reflecting on the birth of Reuven, it says that Reuven, you're Rachis Oni. Right? Reuven is given the bracha from his father Yaakov, that you are Rachis Oni, the first of my strength. Bechori ata koichi v'Rachis Oni. What does it mean that you're the first of my strength? What does that mean? You're the first of my strength. Rishis Oni, says Rashi, Parshas Vayechi, not on the page in front of you. He tipa rishona shalo shalo ra'a keri miyamav. It was the first drop of seed to ever leave the body of Yaakov Avinu, because he never wasted seed in his life. He never saw keri in his life until he fathered Reuven. And he was not a young man at the time. Okay, so Yaakov also is the epitome of Shmiras Habris, which is why he has the ability to split water. Yosef Atzadik. What does the Medrash say? Hayam Rav Ayanas, no? Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef Atzadeh, Arono Shal Yosef, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is a Shomer Habris.
He was also given us by the story of the Tanin that Hashem brings. It says that he is Vayanas from in front of it.
Right, Moshe has a Vayanas, and Yosef has a Vayanas. He ran away from Meshes Potiphar, so the word, again, is a recurring word. Right, so Yosef, so Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef, Yaakov, all of them are the epitome of Kedusha Sabris. And that's why they all play a role here. But coming now full circle, coming back to what we started with. What did the Zohar tell us? The Zohar told us that a person who says Az Yashir now, he's going to be Zoichet to say Az Yashir in the future. In other words, when does a person say Az Yashir? Az Yashir when you make it through, right, through the water on dry land. In other words, a person who's trying to be mezgaber in this inyan, a person who's trying to overcome the waters of this world, and again, I'm emphasizing this aspect of mayim because it's shov of him, but it's true, any taiva, any whatever you're drowning in, whatever oylem haza thing is holding you back and is causing you to lose your way and to drown a little bit, right? To believe that I can actually be bigger than this thing, whatever it is, whatever my mitzrayim it is, whatever's trapping me, to be able to sing Az Yashir means to celebrate those little victories now and to believe that what? That I can make my way through the sea on dry land to Eretz Yisrael, again, like Klal Yisrael themselves did. So therefore, says the Zohar, a person who sings Az Yashir now and has Kavana and believes in the possibility of making their way, of navigating their little ship, their little body through this world, this raging ocean, like the Sefer Charedim said, using your neshama as the captain, such a person is going to be zoichet to sing it in the future. So now, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi told us that what? Vayivku ha-mayim kol mayim sheba'olam. And we ask the question, why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu split all the water in the world? So Shoval said, well, maybe it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu making sure the whole world knows about Kriyas Yamsuf. Maybe. That's part of completing this revelation of Hashem that was taking place through the Makos. Perhaps. But it could also be, it wasn't so much about back then. It was like Rav Shlomo Kluger told us. Like Shlomo Kluger told us that what? That when the water went back to its place, no, we still have business to do together. Tanai HaRishon, we still have business to do. Hashem was foreshadowed where Jews are going to be coming from all different bodies of water. Everyone's, right? Kol Mayim Shebaolam, wherever you're coming from, whatever water you need to navigate your way through, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, so to speak, again, like Rabbeinu Bachaya said in the Kara Kemach, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to Lisbayam Dera. Hashem made many mesilos, many pathways through the water. Maybe that's also what the Medrash says. Right? We know that each Shevet, or perhaps even each person, according to one Medrash, was traveling in their own path through the Yamsuf. What was the point of that? Why is Hashem splitting water all around the world? Because you might be a Jew who finds himself in Washington Heights, New York, on the day that Mashiach comes. And you need to be able to travel through the waters of Washington Heights back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh, for the Bayis Shlishi and the merit of Yaakov Avinu, whose staff was held by Moshe in splitting the sea. Right? So it was foreshadowing the fact that there's so many different waters. There's so much teva that we're all trying not to drown in. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating pathways, is creating that possibility of a Jew coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from wherever he's coming from, wherever a Jew finds himself. All right. Anyone have anything else to add to this inyan?
I'm going to read Tzidkas Tzadik.
You want to read Tzidkas Tzadik? Okay. It's here. I put it here for a reason, I guess. Thanks. All right, let's end with a Ritzadik. We have two pieces from Ritzadik. We have a Tzidkas Tzadik and a Pri Tzadik. Again, you'll see how it's connected to this year. Mi shehu shomer habris, velo ra keri miyamav hu nikra yefei tawar. As it says by Yosef yefei tawar, a person who's a shomer habris, a person who works on this inyan. And by the way, let's remind ourselves, Yosef Tzadik was not perfect. Yosef Tzadik, according to Sota Daf Lamed Vav, lost several drops of seed as he was trying to control himself in his battle against Eishes Potiphar. A Shomer Habris is a person who wants to be Shomer Habris, a person who's working on Shmiras Habris. Right? There's no obligation to be perfect, even though he's quoting the Yaakov Avinu, Lo Ra Kar Miyama. That's Yaakov, it's not Yosef. But a person who's working on this inyan of trying to be better, trying to be more in control, not to be drowning in the world and all of its pleasures, right, is the inyan of Yosef Atzalik, is the inyan of Yafei Tawar. Beautiful appearance, beautiful form. But realize, there are some who have beautiful form that are not really so beautiful. What does that mean? You have to understand, the inyan of Bris Mila is something which is miyuchad to Klal Yisrael. The inyan of Shmiras Habris is miyuchad to Klal Yisrael. What does that mean? It means if you have a non-Jew, if you have a person from the Umos HaOlam who is more careful about these inyanim, he's still not called the Shomer HaBris, because he's not in the Bris. The Bris means the covenant that we made with Hashem. So says the Pasuk, Shechkar Achein Vehevel HaYofi. Yofi is a term we give to someone who's Shomer the Bris. But there's fake Yofi. What do you mean fake Yofi? It means there's someone from the Umos HaOlam who also was naki, was clean from the sin, and yet, nonetheless, he's not really called the Shomer HaBris. Who's that? Kamo Og, Shapalat Midor HaMabel. You've heard the Medrash before, that Og was saved from the Mabel. He was clinging on to the Mabel, to the Teva. He was holding on to the Teva from the outside. Right? Uvelo Teva Klal. He was saved even without going into the Teva. Hanging on to the outside of the Teva. Vada Lohaya Nisa Leshikra. Why was he saved? It was a generation of the Mabel. By the way, again, not for now, but the Arizal talks about how those babies who were born in Mitzrayim were Gilgulim of those who were born in the Dor HaMabel. And that's why Paro was trying to throw them back into the water, trying to drown them again. He wanted a Mabel again. Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is saved. That's why the Gemara says in Meseches Chulin, where is there a hint to Moshe in the Torah? What pasuk does it bring? Bishagam hu basar. Bishagam is Gematria Moshe. What's the context of that pasuk? The Mabel, right? So in other words, Paro was trying to make a Mabel again. And this time he wanted Moshe to drown. Moshe is the Gilgul of Noach, right? There's a connection, strong connections between the two of them. So Hashem doesn't make a miracle for nothing. Why was Og saved? You know why Og was saved? Because he was a Shomer HaBris. Og was saved, yeah? Og was saved because he was a person of Shmiras HaBris. I'm just realizing now, Og with the Kol is Gematria Yesod. Right? Mila. Right? Kedusha Sabris. Og is a person who seems to be the embodiment of it. Rakshalo haya ben Mabel. He was saved because he wasn't a ben Mabel. What does it mean to be a ben Mabel? Tahainu mashchiz zera. As it says in Perek Koliyad, as it says in Mesechas Nida, that a mabul, a person who is motzi zara levatala, a person who spills their seed in vain, brings a mabul to the world. The Gemara says, what are strong things to say? No, the Indian is to try to be your best in these things. Turn the page. Shaya ben achia bar sham gezai ve'ein kan makomo. It talks about who Og was a brother of other giants. Okay, good. Not for now, says Rav Tzadok. And that's why his land was eventually given to Menashe, who's a descendant of Yosef, the true Shomer Hebris. Lekach nisyare Moshe mimenu. That's why Moshe is scared of Og. Right? When Moshe has to fight against Og, he's afraid. Why is he afraid? Ki Moshe haya gam kein bedor ha-mabel. Moshe is also from that generation. Moshe, in a certain sense, was also saved from the Mabel. As the Gemara says, Bishagam begamatria Moshe. Moshe is also a saved soul from that generation. Fenemar alav kimin amayim shisiu shaya oz b'mayim. Moshe was in the water and had to be saved. Og was able to ride the teva from the outside. So Moshe thought, maybe Og's shmiras habris is even better than mine. And he was scared to fight against Og. V'gam kol ikar inyan Moshe hayla takin davar zeh hanikra shtus. And Moshe's whole avoda, and that's why he's able to dry up waters, is because Moshe's whole inyan is to what? Is to overcome this yitzhar, which is called shtus. That's why we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was separated from his wife for many years. The cover mul beis pa'or. Where is Moshe buried? He's buried opposite beis pa'or. What happened in pa'or? Pa'or, right? The Avodah Zarah was just a pretext to get involved in all sorts of arayos, right? It's Bilam, it's Balak, it's Cosby and Zimri, it's Pinchas. It's all of the lewd sexual immoral behavior in Pa'or. So Moshe is buried opposite Pa'or, because Moshe is the opposite midah of Pa'or. Moshe was born mahol. Moshe was born circumcised. Moshe is bar b'makom acher. V'ra'a zeh naki kol kach. And he saw that Og was also a shomer habris. Nisyari mimenu. He was very afraid. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, what are you talking about? You have nothing to worry about. Al tirah. Do not be afraid. Ki kai malon b'nedarim. And this is an amazing, this Maamar Chazal goes to the essence of what Shmiras HaBris is. The Gemara in Nedarim says, Hanoder min ha'arei. If you take a neder not to benefit from an uncircumcised person, Osir b'mulei umos ha'akum. You're not allowed to benefit from a non-Jew even if they're circumcised. Because Arel is not just about Mahul and Arel, right? Shmiras HaBris and not Shmiras HaBris is more than just whether or not you physically have changed your body type. So if you take a neder not to benefit from uncircumcised people, even a circumcised person from the Umos HaOlam is still off limits to you. Umutter ba'ar le'Yisrael. And a person who takes a neder not to benefit from Arelim is mutter to benefit from a Jew who is uncircumcised. Because a Jew is not an Arel. Be'etzim, he's not an Arel. He may have yet to remove the foreskin, and al pi halacha, it's a big deal. But Pasha'ina Arla Nikra Ella al Shimam. Afilu Heimulam Vishoim Rehebris. And therefore, what Tzaddik is doing in this piece, as he concludes in the last line, Va'ame Chulam Tzaddikim Vishoim Rehebris Afilu Shakilkulu. Tzaddik is saying Shmiras HaBris is something essential. And again, let's go back to Rav Alexandri and that Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, again, that I mentioned earlier. What did Rav Alexandri say? Hashem, you know that we want that our Ratzon is to do your Ratzon. You know we want to do your ratzon, but we're drowning in olam hazeh. It's your, saying in a whisper, it's your fault, Hashem. You gave us the Yitzhara, you put us in galus, right? We look sometimes worse than the umas olam. They sometimes look better than us, yeah? It looks like sometimes we're the ones who are arelim, and they're the ones who are circumcised, but says Rav Tzadik, it's not true, but amir kulam tzadikim. The meaning of tzadik is klal Yisrael. And even when we mess up, we have to remember that be'etzem, be'emes, a Jew is a mahol. So let's conclude for real now. Let's go back to the Medrash at the beginning. Why did the Samach Mem show up by Kriyas Yamsuf? Because he understood. If the Jews make it through now, it's foreshadowing the fact that they're going to make it through in the end. And why is that so scary to the Samach Mem?
Because then he's done.
The Gemara says in Sukkah, in the fifth parak, right, that the Yitzhara, Lasid Lavo, is going to be shechted. He's going to be slaughtered. Yeah, the Yitzhara is going to be shechted. So the Yitzhara understands that the final Geula is the greatest threat to existence. And he understands that this Kriyas Yamsuf, right, is mamish stage, V'yibku ha-mayim, like Rashi said, kol mayim shaba'olam, all the waters in the world, is staged for what? For the final Kriyas Yamsuf. Ah, and the final Kriyas Yamsuf is what? To be the one that puts an end to his life. So now, in a very self-serving way, he shows up and says, well, I'll be Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? I understand. If they finish this Gula process, and finish the final Gula process as well. And therefore he's trying to protect. But of course the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response is even with a Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim. Avodah Zarah means any foreign worship. When a Jew lost his way, it was shogeg, it was onus. It wasn't mezid and it wasn't ratzon. The ratzon of a Jew is ritzoneinu lasos ritzonecha Hashem. We want to do your will. That's the essence of a Jew. Okay, so it should be mechazik asalad in the days of Shovavim. To realize that again, a Jew is be'etzem ashomer habris. To realize that there are a lot of waters that could try to drown us, but to know that if we made it through once, Ma'isa Avos Simul Lebanim, like the Medrash told us, whatever Hashem is going to do in the future, He did in a miniature version now. So we should be zeichet to see the big Kriyas Yamsuf and find our way back. Whatever waters you're in, that's the pshat. Kol Ma'im Shavolam, to find our way back to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and to build that third Beis Hamikdash in the Schus of Yaakov Avinu B'mehir B'mehir. Amen. Whoever wants to go to.